I've missed you.
He slipped into bed beside her. He was warm and smooth, the shape her hands had wanted without knowing it. And yet, even before Xavier, neither of them had taken up the many opportunities. She thought she knew what it meant for her. What did it mean for him?
I'm just not comfortable aboard ship.
Harris rolled her head sideways, facing what must be faced. But Petrus merely looked thoughtful.
I'm not either, if you want the truth of it. I love you. I loved you for years, and getting to be with you was wonderful, but it doesn't feel right aboard ship. And it's not just the memory of those damned cockroaches. Really, I swear.
I know. But we do have a dilemma, especially if you feel the same way. I love you. I want to be around you. And I love being in space.
Me too.
But not in bed in space.
She frowned, hardly realizing it until his finger began smoothing her forehead.
We are grown-ups. We can take our pleasures serially instead of binging. It's fine with me if we put this part of our life aside, when we're aboard. For one thing, we won't be waiting for some crisis to interrupt.
Thank you.
I almost wish... Oh, sorry, nothing.
Wish what?
Harris pushed herself up on one elbow to look at him. The sight of his brows, pulled together in a knot of concentration, almost undid the previous agreement.
Nothing we can change. Not about you, is what I mean.
Petrus!
It's just... we don't have anything to do. And this little ship is a beauty, and it was fun fitting her out with some decent equipment and weaponry, but we don't get to do anything with it. Vigilance now. While I was scared out of my skull, I felt needed, competent.
Harris rolled all the way over and buried her chin in the mat of black hair on his chest.
I know. And that's why I'm going back in, Petrus. And I want you to come back, too.
I thought so. Then we can...
Yes, we can. We're not going to waste what we do have. Either you'll end up with a commission from all this, or we'll simply use common sense. Confine it to times we aren't aboard.
Is that an order, ma'am?
Sir.
And she set about undoing the pact they had just made.
I don't like it, letting Rafa go off by herself like this. Ow!
Ronnie slapped at a tick fly and hit it, which left an itchy wet spot on his arm and a mess on his hand.
She'll be all right. She's inside, isn't she? Not out here being eaten up by these things.
George flapped the gray-green cloth hanging down from his hat and swung his arms in a sort of uncoordinated dance. He had draped himself in the recommended insect-proof veil for their trek along the shore, only to discover that tick flies could crawl up the arms, and once inside the veil, they couldn't get back out. Even satiated with blood, they still whined around inside the veil with annoying persistence. Ronnie looked seaward, where sullen waves rolled sluggishly landward and spitefully slapped the crumbling shore. Far out, a line of dirty white might mark the reefs he'd seen mentioned in the tourist brochure. Landward, the low, boxy shapes of Touville's monotonous architecture cast uninteresting shadows as square as the buildings. He hadn't seen the hotel, but in the transient workers' hostel, the cramped room smelled of disinfectant, and the ventilation fans squeaked monotonously.
It's not exactly exotic, not even the planet itself.
No.
George kicked at a mound of crumbly stuff and jumped back as a horde of many-legged, shiny-backed things ran out. He backed up a couple of steps.
Look at that. What do you suppose that...
Sting tails.
They both looked up to find a tall, lean individual with a slouch hat and long, white, perfectly pointed mustaches grinning at them in a way that emphasized their ignorance.
If I were you, I'd move farther away. Stingtails know the scent of their nest and the critter that kicked it.
George, who had been fascinated by the fast-moving swarm, backed up again and watched as the swarm continued to move toward him. George backed away faster.
Damn it! Now what?
Hop! Big hops! When you're 20 meters away, they'll lose track.
George hopped, looking ridiculous, with his veil bouncing up and down. Ronnie jogged along, keeping wide of the swarm just in case, and the stranger strolled at ease, hands in his pockets. When they halted again, George breathless and disheveled, Ronnie took a longer look at the stranger. Despite the old battered hat, with odd decorations stuck in its band, a tiny horseshoe, a fishhook with feathers, a long curling quill from some exotic bird, a blue rosette, the man was otherwise tidily, even foppishly dressed, in crisp khaki slacks and shirt, the pleats pressed to a knife edge. A tiny pink flower in his buttonhole, a perfectly folded white handkerchief peeking from one pleated pocket, stout low boots of fawn leather, and those mustaches, which matched bushy white eyebrows over bright blue eyes.
You boys must have let Marshall at the station tell you what to buy.
Ronnie would have been annoyed, but he was already hot, sweaty, and bug-bitten.
I can smell the fly begone from here. But of course it doesn't repel tick flies. Marshall got it by mistake 3 years ago, and none of us will buy it. He has to foist it off on the tourists.
Ronnie slapped at his neck and missed that tick fly.
Not that we get many tourists. Certainly not your sort.
And what is our sort?
Rich young idiots. More money than sense. I mean, we'd heard the royals were disbanding, letting loose a plague of your sort, but I thought Patchcock was too far away and too boring to attract any. And that veil will only trap the tick flies inside, besides making you hotter.
George tore off the veil.
I know that. I was just about to take it off when I...
When you kicked a stingtail nest, and now you're angry with me, I understand.
Ronnie had the odd feeling that he did. In fact, he liked the old fellow, and hoped George wouldn't say anything too rude. He put his hand out.
I'm Ronnie Carruthers, and this is George Mahoney.
The old man looked at his hand, and Ronnie realized it was smeared with blood and tick fly juice. He pulled it back to wipe on his slacks.
Sorry.
No offense. I'm Hubert DeVries Michelson, retired neurosynthetic chemist. Let me tell you what I already know before you tell me something else. Truth between gentlemen, you know.
Yes.
Ronnie slapped another tick fly and swiped his damp hand surreptitiously on his shirt. Hubert grinned, showing a row of very white, very strong teeth.
I wouldn't do that, by the way. It won't come out in the wash. Now, Ronald Vortigern Carruthers and George Starbuck Mahoney arrived yesterday in company of a pretty young girl named Raffaella Forrester Sienz. Right so far?
Yes, but
you traveled together from the Guarani Republic, specifically from the planet Music. Kept to yourselves, but the girl let it be known that she and you, Mr. Carruthers, were traveling together in blatant disregard of her family's wishes. I hope that was a cover story.
The old man peered at him, blue eyes suddenly frosty. Ronnie felt his ears going hot.
Well, sir, not exactly. That is, we didn't start to... It just happened that we... And anyway, it wasn't like that.
I see. Going to marry the girl, are you?
The blue glare didn't give a millimeter. Ronnie's spine straightened before he realized it.
Of course. We didn't start out together. George and I were on... We had something to do in the Guarani Republic. When Rafa showed up alone...
You decided she needed an escort. Protection?
More or less.
Ronnie was not about to explain to this old fellow that the protection had gone the other way. The bright blue eyes blinked, then Hubert grinned.
Well, well, young blood still runs hot, I see. In that case, young man, you've made a serious mistake.
What?
Letting her go unchaperoned, here of all places.
Ronnie looked around, but saw no particular menace. Besides, Rafa was safely inside.
You should have registered with her. The people at the hotel think she's alone.
That had been the idea. Ronnie fumbled for an explanation and came up with partial truth.
The fact is, sir, that hotel, it's the only one fit for her, but I couldn't quite...
Ah, funds low, eh? What is it, boy? Gambling or chemicals? Give it up, boy. Girl like that is worth it.
It's not that. It's family.
Ronnie felt that his ears must be glowing now. He didn't want to drag Aunt Cecilia into this, and anyway, it wouldn't make sense to anyone outside.
It's his aunt. His aunt's suing his parents, and that's why Rafa's parents wanted to drop him, because his aunt's in the mood to put his parents in the poorhouse and Ronnie along with them.
Never mind, George. It's not quite right anyway. Aunt Cecilia isn't vindictive, not really.
Cecilia...
Cecilia de Marctos.
Helpful. That was George. Ronnie wanted to smack him.
Rides horses. Red hair.
Hubert looked Ronnie up and down again.
Ah, that's Cecilia.
You know her?
Never met her. Never heard of her. Now I know. You have a problem, boy. Your young lady may be in serious trouble.
What? Why do you think that?
Because Patchcock in general, and Tuville in particular, are not that friendly to strangers. Especially strangers with a mission. And no one is going to believe you sneaked off to Patchcock to enjoy the beautiful scenery together.
I've got to get back.
Ronnie turned and took a long stride without looking. This time it was his boot that smashed into a stingtail mound.
Look out!
Ronnie jumped back from the angry, writhing swarm of stingtails that poured out of the hole. Hubert grabbed his arm.
Not so fast. Here, this way. Walk through these.
He led Ronnie a few meters farther from the shore onto matted, rust-brown vegetation that released a sharp, garlicky scent.
Now settle down. Getting yourself eaten up by stingtails isn't going to help your young lady.
George looked back at the mound, now covered with stingtails.
Eaten up?
Of course. Didn't Marshall tell you? They swarm on you and start stinging. Somewhere between 50 and 100 stings paralyzes the average human. Unfortunately, it doesn't numb the rest of the stings. We lost quite a few settlers at first. People who thought stingtails were no worse than ordinary ants. Luckily, they can't follow a scent across stink foil.
And you didn't tell me. You had me hopping down the shore like an idiot.
It worked. Got your attention, too. Now, enough flabbery-dabbery. Your young lady.
She was taking a tour today. Her Aunt Marta, you see, sent her here.
The old man's expression so clearly said, pull the other one, it's got bells on, that he didn't have to open his mouth.
I know she was taking a tour. The operative question is, did she come back?
Ronnie felt a sinking inside. He could easily imagine his heart having turned to iron, slowly plunging through his guts to the center of the planet.
We're supposed to meet tonight, at some place called Black Andy's for dinner.
Oh dear, Black Andy's, is it? Not wise, not wise at all. Let me tell you what to do. You go back to your digs, get cleaned up. Go by her hotel and see if she's back. If she is, stay with her. Eat there, and you'll hear from me tomorrow. If she's not, give me a call.
Hubert fished out an immaculate business card and handed it over with a flourish.
And do be careful on the way back. No more stingtails.
Can't we just walk on the stink foil?
Not advisable. It's a bit corrosive, if you'll look at your boot soles.
George lifted a foot and winced at the lines etched in the sole.
It would probably eat through before you reach town. If you're careful along the shore, you shouldn't have too much trouble. I can't go with you. Wouldn't be advisable at all, you see.
Ronnie didn't see exactly, but he was ready to run the whole distance back to their lodgings. If only it would help Rafa.
Thank you, sir. We'll be in touch.